Hi all, I'm Emily Horn, a senior at Ithaca College, and you're listening to Real Sex Ed, an educational conversational podcast that sheds truth on the sexual health issues young people deal with today in high school and on college campuses. The lessons we weren't taught in sex ed class and the lessons our parents wouldn't go anywhere near. A little bit about me and how this podcast started. I'm on the executive board of Ithaca College's Planned Parenthood Generation Action Chapter. We are a group of young activists who fight for reproductive freedom on our campus and educate our peers about sexual health. Today, I'm here with Ithaca College senior and my roommate, Juliet Noble. Hey, Jay.
Hello. What's up?
So today, I wanted to start by discussing something really important when it comes to positive, safe sex, and that is consent, and more specifically, yes, affirmative consent. So the definition of affirmative consent by the Ithaca College Policy Manual is defined as a knowing, voluntary, and mutual decision among all participants to engage in sexual activity. To start us off, I want to give you guys some quick facts and information on consent.
Give it to us.
Consent may be initially given, but withdrawn at any time. College women ages 18 to 24 are at an elevated risk of sexual violence. 11.2% of all students experience rape or sexual assault. 21% of LGBTQ college students have been sexually assaulted. And college-age victims of sexual violence do not report to law enforcement. So, as we can see, consent is not really being utilized on college campuses. Now, Jay, why do you think this topic is important, specifically on college campuses where there's a normalization of alcoholic hookup culture?
Well, the reason why I think it's important is because alcohol included doesn't give you the right to go past anyone's boundaries.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of respect throughout college and with your partner that you need to have, and it's important to note that communication is key no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, when alcohol is involved, there's this sort of extra level of negligence because you're not fully in the right mindset. But if you think about it this way, even if you're, let's say, blacked out, incredibly intoxicated, your conscious brain knows that murder is bad.
Yeah.
So with that being said, your conscious brain should also know that consent is mandatory. It's a given.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I really like that analogy that you gave there. I mean, it's really not that hard to ask the other person and communicate. It'd be like if I were to ask you if you wanted some orange juice and you said no, but I put it in front of you anyway and made you drink it. Like, Juliet, would you like some orange juice?
No, not right now.
Oh, well, here it is anyway. Now drink it up, bitch.
Okay, wow.
Like, it's wild. Do you think consent is stressed on Ithaca's campus? And if not, how can it be pushed more?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I think it is to an extent, but I definitely think that it can be pushed more. You know, I think we should really make it mandatory every year for students to go through some sort of training, maybe even try to implement it directly into our curriculum. You know, freshman seminars should have a unit or some sort of material on consent that covers it and certain boundaries. Mm-hmm. These seminars that the first years are taking needs to be prominent throughout the course, that this is what we expect from you while you go to Ithaca College and what is expected while you're a student here.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's really amazing to me also how sex education classes in high school don't really touch on consent at all. The high school years are around the time when most kids start having sex.
Right.
Yeah, I was reading the other day a CBS News article that found it found surveys that showed between 4% and 8% of boys said they were having sex before they were 13 years old.
Wow.
While that is young, it's a natural thing, and especially in today's world, the topic of sex is everywhere. I mean, advertisements, movies, TV, songs. So I think to keep that information from the younger generation until they're in high school is not healthy for anyone.
I agree. This is a completely different world that we're living in than what our parents had when they were younger.
Yeah.
Also, I just can't even tell you how many awkward sexual encounters I've had while in high school.
Oh my God. Same. And odds are these young males will be taught little to nothing in high school about sexual health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, high school these days are teaching the absolute bare freaking minimum.
Yeah.
It's scary. Speaking of, do you have any weird sex ed stories from high school?
Oh, well, let's put it this way. I went to an all-girls Catholic school. Nuns were not only our nurses, but our teachers and our sex ed teachers. It was super, super awkward. Sex ed was technically covered in our religion class, and they told us that sex was only allowed during marriage, and if we were to have premarital sex, it was a sin. So I guess I'm
going to hell.
We had members of the LGBTQ+ community in our school. It was normal.
Yeah.
But the thing was, they felt so targeted because obviously these classes didn't touch on queer sex.
Yeah.
Because queer sex was a sin.
Yeah.
Just like everything else in that school.
Yeah.
But anyway, what about you? Did you have any weird stories?
Yeah. I mean, I went to a small private high school where everyone kind of knew each other. And the gym teachers were the health teachers, too. So these gym teachers were also our after-school sport coaches.
Oh, my God.
So, like, whenever I had health class with Mr. K at the end on Friday, whatever, I saw him 20 minutes later at soccer practice. It was so weird, that whole transition between, you teaching me about puberty and then
condoms.
Screaming at me on the soccer field. I don't know. It was just such a weird dynamic.
Ugh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Ew.
What did you...
Yeah. Well, as I kind of mentioned before, we sort of touched base on health and sexual health in religion class, sort of. We were taught just what it says in the Bible, which is ridiculous, because half of the kids that were at my school didn't even believe in God.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah.
We didn't even learn about the male or female anatomy. You know, I learned more about my body in my biology class.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's freaking insane. So you're telling me you didn't even have a designated sex ed class in high school?
Oh, my gosh. No, not at all. We had one class devoted to it in religion.
Oh my God. That makes me so angry. At least I had sex ed in high school, like an actual class. It wasn't sex ed, it was like health class, but they taught like sex, you know, sexual health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they attempted to. It wasn't informing whatsoever.
Ugh.
I have like the classic banana and condom story.
Ew.
Like, think about how weird it is. A bunch of 17-year-olds in a classroom with a creepy old gym teacher as he's slowly and seductively putting on a condom.
Ew.
On a banana. I mean, uncomfortable is just such an understatement. I don't even know how we went to lunch after that class.
That's actually so weird. I would be traumatized.
Well, we've only just scratched the surface of consent and sex ed, but I think there's a lot more to discuss. But overall, things need to change on college campuses and in high school.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're as passionate about the subject as I am, come to a meeting for Planned Parenthood Generation Action. We meet Thursday nights at 7 p.m. in Friends 207. Shameless plug, had to. But I want to say thank you so much to my guest, Juliet Noble, for coming on tonight.
Oh, of course, anything for you, girly.
And be sure to listen to next week's episode where we discuss the porn industry and the negative effects it has on sexual health. I'm your host, Emily Horn. Thanks for listening to Real Sex Ed.